This week about Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag, and the Gemara tells us here in Daf Zayin that the Gemara explains that when it comes to being Ma'abir the Shana, if you have to add on a second month, so the Gemara says that Ma'abir Nashana Kol Adar, you could Ma'abir the entire month, any day of the month, you could add a second Adar. If you're in the last day of Adar Rishon, you could add an Adar Sheni. So Omrim Adar Purim, so they said until Purim, one should really not. In theory, you can, but really, Ad Purim is the cutoff line should be for adding on an extra month. Why is Purim the cutoff time? So Gemara says, "My time, a demand of Ad Purim." Why does one hold that Purim should really be the cutoff time, even though you have until the end of the month? And so Gemara explains that Kevin Damar Mar Sholin VeHelchos at Pesach Kodem LePesach Shloshim Yom. Since we learn, we start preparing the halachas of Pesach before Pesach 30 days. So Asil is Azuli Bechametz, so we're going to come to be Mezalz Bechametz. What does that mean, Mezalz Bechametz? So Rashi says, as I imagine you saw, Rashi is Asil is Azuli Bechametz, Shekvar Mina Purim Ve'elech, already from Purim Day, they began Hischilu Hadashanim, Lidjosh Berabim, they started to give their, you know, daily Shirim, Behilchas Pesach, there's so much to learn. Huskaku Hashomim La'asus Pesach, La'asos Shloshim Yom. They knew, okay, today's the first day of Pesach. It was Purim Day, they gave a Joshua Purim afternoon on Pesach. And then they said, okay, 30 days from today, let's calculate. Vim Yavru Bezdin, Shoshana, lo yuskablu divrei shluchei Bezdin. If, you know, a few days later, they're going to hear that, oh, they added a whole nother month, they wouldn't trust them. My rabbi gave me a shir. We started learning halachas of Pesach. You're going to tell me the shluchei Bezdin from Sanhedrin, they changed what was going on here? They're not going to trust them. That was pushed off. And it's going to be a zilzul of chametz. They're not going to keep Pesach like the rest of the Jewish community is going to keep it. So that's the cutoff point, 30 days from Purim to Pesach. So what's so interesting, Rashi says that already Kfar Mina Purim, Purim day itself is when they'd start darshing about Hilchos Pesach. If you imagine a Purim day, you know, darshing about anything, but if there's going to be drash, you imagine it's about Purim, about the Megillah, about Shalach Manos, but start talking about Pesach, we didn't even finish the Yont of a Purim to start already talking about Pesach. It doesn't make that much sense. And this is already a discussion in the Poskim, whether it should be Dafka on Purim day or the day afterwards. So the Gra writes, on the Shulchan Aruch, it says Maschilin mi Yom Purim, already Yom Purim. So imagine you push off, you end your suit early, or you find some time to squeeze in and start learning Mishabura Pesach. It just sounds like something is off about that. It doesn't really mean 30 days. The Prichadosh says, nah, 30 days doesn't mean really 30 days. Why would you start on Purim day? Lav Milsi. So number one is every time you have so many times there's a cheshbon in you know, in the Torah, in the Gemara, it doesn't mean dafka that number, right? When it says you know, there are 40 lashes. It doesn't really mean 40 lashes in the Torah. It says, Arbaim Yakenu, 40. No, it means 39. 50 days till Shavuos. It's not really 50 days. It's really 49 days. So just because Chazal used 30 days, it's a nice round number. It doesn't really mean 30 days. It could still mean 29 days. And he says, you know, the truth is, in the times of the Gemara, the way we, you know, calculate 29 days and 30 days of a month, we have a whole calendar. It's already set up. We can't change how many days of Tishrei there is, let's say. But in the times of the Gemara, when they were Makabal Edus of the new moon, so it was possible that Adar was really a 30-day month, not a 29-day month like it is nowadays. And the truth is there can be already 30 days from the day after Purim. You still have 30 days. You still accomplish the 30 days. And moreover, from this whole question is only in day 15, Yerushalayim. Calculating 15th of Adar to the 15th of Nisan, so minus Purim, that's only 29 days. But already from day 14, which is pretty much 99% of the world celebrate Purim on day 14, you still do accomplish the 30 days the day after Purim is over on Shushan Purim. But to start darshaning on Purim day itself, the Pichadosh said that it's a strange thing to darshan on Purim. So before we go ahead and explain why I think maybe there's a shot here, what do you think? What would the reason be why Rashi and the Gra, and we'll see the Mishnah Berurah, also says you should start ready learning on day Purim? What would the Svar be for that? Any thoughts? Okay, so let's learn together. We'll see if we could develop something that might make sense. Why there'd be an inin to start learning on Purim day, which is how we pasuk. The Mishnah Berurah writes clearly, "Maschilin miyom Purim atzmo." Just like the Gra says, just like Rashi says, already from Purim day itself, should we start darshaning and learning about Hilchos Pesach? So let me ask you, what's the reason why? What's the reason why we have 30 days Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag? So that's the basis for it, right? Moshe Benu already, Pesach Rishon, a number of the tzibur, the Gemara says, according to one opinion, it was those who were tamei because they were carrying the Aron Shel Yosef. Other explanations, who were the tamei people, but they're tamei. They said, listen, Rebbe, we can't do Karban Pesach. We don't want to be left out. This is a big karban. Let us do something. So Moshe Darshan, okay, you can make it happen a month from now. So that was the basis. Shloshim Yom Kodem Lechag. What's the reason, though? What's the svar behind? So I get, okay, that just happened to work out. That was the coordination. It was 30 days from Pesach Rishon to Pesach Sheni. But what's the svar?
Is it a good deal to prepare for it takes time?
It takes time to prepare. Right, that's a simple reason. So chametz Pesach maybe more. It's chametz requires.
Is it like something about 30 days in order to get to all different places to say that today is that day is going to be the 15th of Nisan? So you're not over this or the rest of chametz.
Right. So chametz is a serious thing, and it could be the amount of chametz you have to look for. We have to realize though, the size of our houses, even the smaller houses like myself, it's still bigger than they had. They had one room. So
to all Jews around the world.
All for just to get the word out. It's a serious din. Yeah. It's a chametz, it's an iser kares, it's a lot of preparation, you have to make the matzah, a lot of preparing. Like making matzah is like a big deal. I've shared this before in the past in other shirim, that my brother-in-law and I once went to make matzahs. We didn't just go bake matzahs, we went actually, we cut wheat back in June, and we did every process along the way. We cut the wheat, we went to some makeshift, I wouldn't call it bakery, but something in a basement in Bar Park, where we ground the wheat. And we sifted the wheat, and like you had some like a makeshift sifter, like made out of a plastic container. They were sifting something. They put holes on the top, and they're for Zohar, for winnowing. Had this massive fan blowing, so like things were flying around the room, and the, the heavy stuff was falling, and the slice stuff was flying. We did every single step along the way, and then Borer, Merakit, and so on, and then finally we came. We needed it, and then we baked it, and then something happened in the baking process. We went to a real matzah bakery for that, but something got ruined, we couldn't eat it. It was chametz, but it's a long process, so you need more than 30 days even to bake the matzah, but there's so much to be done. So the simple understanding is the preparation, the knowing of the halachas. Let me just highlight this point a little bit further. When the Mishnah Berurah points out this halacha, he says nowadays that the practice is to have a Shabbos HaGadol Drasha. The Shabbos HaGadol Drasha doesn't really cut it, because it's the week beforehand. Sometimes it's like the day before. This year, I think it's going to be the day beforehand. Erev Pesach is Shabbos. So the Shabbos of Gadol Drasha is Erev Pesach. So there's nothing you could actually do because Matzah Shabbos already is Pesach. So there's nothing to be done. So Shabbos of Gadol doesn't cut it, even if it's a full week beforehand, not enough to prepare. And a Shabbos Shuvah Drasha, on the Sukkot end of things, and it's never about Sukkot, nor is it ever about Halacha. It's not much about preparing. So it's all very nice and inspirational and Divrei Musar and Divrei Chizuk. But the Mishnah Berurah says the truth is the mitzvah is in every single person to start learning the Halachas. Once upon a time, it was the Rebbe's obligation to give a drasha, like Rashi says. Somehow that changed. The drasha became a week beforehand. So now we each have an individual obligation, and the Shulchan Aruch Rav, the Baal Tani writes, he says this as well, that kol echa mitzvah, kol echa ve'echad sheyilmud hilchos haregel, kodem haregel, ad sheyehe baki behem v'yeda hamaisa. He has to know what he's doing. It's as Yishai said, we have to lemaisa know what we're doing, and the halachas are so much when it comes to Hilchos Pesach, so that's why we have all the days before him. And the truth is, this is also rooted in the Rishonim. The Beis Yosef quotes a discussion, which we'll elaborate on, which Yom Tovim has this din of Shloshim Yom Kodem Lechag. So when it comes, he starts going down the line, how many days do you need to prepare for Shavuos? There's not much for Shavuos. There's no special mitzvahs. It's just Hilchos Yontif. Not Hilchos Pesach. Hilchos Yontif, which is important to learn. It does take time, but it doesn't require 30 days. So the Beis Yosef says already when it comes to Shavuos, and Sukkot also, Sukkot, there are a lot of halachas, but not as many as Pesach. He says, Pesach is much harder because a small amount of chametz ruins your entire matzah. When it comes to Sukkot, it's very hard to find a puzzle lulav and esrog. I shared that story with the Rav Shechter. Right? He didn't even look at the lulav. He just took whatever he was given. It's very hard to puzzle lulav and esrog. Now, I remember, a few years ago, I used to go to a person to buy my lulav and esrog before I was in Yeshua. I went to Queens. It was a relative of mine had a place in Queens who sold dalamin. And it was one year where there was a very low supply of lulavim. It happens once in a while. So they weren't showing all the good merchandise. So I pulled some strings and I asked if I could go to the back to look at Lulavim. It's like, if you know like the system, everything is a system. So I didn't really know the system. I knew there was a system. I didn't know it. But I knew the guy. So I asked the guy. He was very hesitant. He let me go to the back to look at my own Lulavim. Because I said, every Lulav you're showing here is actually a puzzle. Usually it's not that way. But every Lulav they were showing, and nowadays everything's prepackaged, everything's kosher. But back then, everything's on the table. Everyone's looking at it, and everyone's splitting it. Everyone's puzzling it. So I couldn't find anything. I said, please find me a kosher one here. And he couldn't find them, so he let me go to the back. It was me and Rabbi, I think his name is Rabbi Spitz from Shar Torah. So he and I, me and this like this big Rav, we're in the back looking at Lulavim. I really didn't know what I was doing. I just wanted, you know, it probably goes 15 years ago, I wanted to just get a kosher Lulav. I was looking through, being very careful. Sometimes it is hard to find the kosher Lulav, but it's rare nowadays. And Esrog goes, it's very hard to find the puzzle Esrog. It's gone through so many different levels. So Lulav, it's easy to find the kosher Lulav. It's easy to find a kosher Esrog. Even Sukkah. The Beit Yosef points out that even a sukkah's ganvach and sukkah's rakbash, which are different types of sukkahs, that if a goy builds a sukkah, that's actually kosher according to the letter of the law. Now, we like to build a sukkah, we like to put the schach on, but it's so hard to pass a sukkah as well. It could take something small to pass it. There's a year that Rav Shechter was spent in Eretz Yisrael in the Inbal. And he's sitting there, the first night of sukkahs, and he's sitting in the sukkah, and those who are familiar in the center of the area, they build the sukkah over there. He looks up, he says, okay, this sukkah is puzzle. And then they found them some other small sukkah. And the reason why it was puzzle is because there's a din that the wall has to go right below the schach. We allow for 3 tvachim, so a few inches is allowed. Pinny asked me that question, actually, right? How far allowed? Around a foot or so. It could only be a foot away. Less than a foot around, it's loved, it's allowed. But the schach was very far from the wall. It was puzzle. You couldn't fix it at that point. So he left the sukkah and went somewhere else. So it is easy to pass a sukkah, but most sukkahs are really, really acceptable. So yes, there are a lot of halachas by sukkahs, but in the end of the day, it's hard to pass a sukkah. It's hard to pass a dal minim. But Pesach, a little chametz could ruin your whole matzah. So therefore, you need 30 days all to prepare, all to know what was going on for Hilchas
with
Pesach.
Even if it's only one spot is more than a foot?
No, as long as you have the two and a little bit walls, that's enough. Everything else, in theory, you don't...
One corner that you don't have schach, it's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Don't sit under that area, depending how big it is, but it wouldn't pass with the whole sukkah. But apparently by the Inbal, it was like every wall was far away from the schach. It was also funny, in the Inbal, that same yandif, someone, came to Rav Shechter, you want to ask a shayla, build a relationship with him, so he bought a very nice esok. So he says, oh, Rebbe, is this esok kosher? What do you think about it? Apostle. For a day one of yantiv. The guy, he couldn't go buy another esog, and he said it was a puzzle esog. That was a fun sukkah Rav Shechter spent in Israel. Okay, anyway, that's the first, that's the most common explanation of Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag. It's, again, to prepare and to know the halachas of Pesach and perhaps the other various Yomim Tovim. Yeah. Excellent, very good. Some Rishonim say it's because of the Karban Pesach. I think the Beis Yosef mentions this as well, maybe the Pichadish, could be both of them. That's to prepare for the Karban Pesach, because most of us are not involved in Karbanos, unless you're a Kohen. So it's new halachas. We haven't brushed up. When I get a halacha of an area that I don't know much about, even though I may have given the psak of it, I don't. If it's not asked often enough to me, I don't remember all the halachas. I'll relearn the sugya to make sure I know it well. So Karban Pesach, for most people, happen once a year. So they relearn the halachas to make sure they're finding, the proper animal, no mumim. So you need 30 days beforehand to prepare. That makes sense, to find the right animal, to do some research. And the Beis Yosef says, nowadays, even though there are no karbanos, but still nonetheless, they kept that in place. So that's another reason. Very good. That's a different reason. But that's a second reason based on karbanos, which is not so relevant. It's not relevant to Shavuos or Sukkot or any other holiday. It's only Pesach where there's a karban for every single person or every single family. But there's another reason, which is interesting, which is brought down by the Ran. The Ran, the Beis Yosef quotes the Ran, actually, it's in number 6. The Ran asks a question. He says, we have two different halachas from Moshe Rabbeinu. One is what we've been talking about, Shloshim Yom, Kodem HaChag. And then he says, we also have the halacha that Sholom V'Darshin B'Hilchos Pesach B'Pesach. Hilchos Atzeres B'Atzeres, Hilchos Chag B'Chag. So why do you need two halachas, one of learning 30 days before, and one about learning on the yantif itself? So to me, it seems obvious. One is to prepare, and one is to enjoy the actual yantif. But the Ran said a completely different din, a big chiddush. Sometimes, I'll get a number of shilas on my phone, let's say. So who do I answer first? So I can't answer all the time right away. So in my mind, I have like a certain level of, you know, prioritizing things. If it's a person, you know, of the shul, so I'll certainly answer as much as I can. If it's someone who's on the shul, so now I don't feel the obligation to answer them immediately. I don't have to stop everything. So I try to balance of what the, you know, needs are. If it's something that's urgent, someone calls about, I don't know, it's a shaila about a mikveh, so they need to go that night, so then I'll immediately answer if I can. It depends on the level of urgency. This is, you know, part of that discussion. So how do you define what's urgent, what's not urgent? So the Ran says that when it comes, there's a tosefta, that if two people come to ask a question, so then, you know, it happens also, so, you know, this is funny, when I'm, you know, waiting back when things were normal, I waited in the back of the shul Friday nights to wish good Shabbos to everyone, or even Shabbos day, so people, like, ask questions sometimes. So people get insulted when they're trying to ask a question, and people are trying to interrupt them to, you know, say good Shabbos or whatnot, and they get very insulted, and I say, you got to keep it moving, and so sometimes, you know, I have to figure out who to, like, answer questions to first. So if, like, sometimes Rabbi Eisen comes, Rabbi Eisen, those who know Rabbi Eisen, he's a Rabbi in Darche, he's a very humble person. He lives in that area near, like, Andy Lauber, on Highland, I think, or so. He's such a tzaddik, mamash tzaddik. And Yishai also lives near mamash tzaddik. He's so honored. They say he's, like, the biggest town chacham in the five towns. So when he comes, I stop everything to wish him a good Shabbos. There's no question about him. He deserves the most kavod. So when two people ask me questions, who do I answer first? So the Tosefta says that when Shnei Tamidim, Shesholom Echad, Shol Kinyin, Vechad, Shol Shalokinyin. Two guys ask a question. One's asking on topic. One guy's asking about something left field. We're talking about now Shloshim Yom Kodem L'Chag. A guy raises his hand and says, I have a question about, going to the mikvah. So I'm not going to answer that question. That's not on topic. So you have two guys answering me a question, you know, Shul Friday night. One guy needs to know his wife forgot to do this. Could he ask the goy to turn on the fire or something? That's for now. Another guy's asking me about, he's looking ahead to, he wants to buy a sukkah for next year.
How much matzah is it?
How much matzah is it? Because there's a big you know, those who want to join in a little bit late now, but there's a big loser competition in the shul. Some guys are trying to lose a lot of weight right now. So people are asking Shabbos about how much you could eat to be yotzei matzah, yotzei kazayis on Shabbos. So these are questions that's very, timely. But some are like, I want to buy a sukkah for next year. I'm like, okay, you have 12 months. Talk to me next week, not Friday night, when I'm saying good Shabbos to everyone. So there's a shul kinyan and there's shalok kinyan. There's on topic and there's not on topic. So the Ran says, once you get into 30 days before Pesach, that's already considered on topic. I can't say, come to me later. No, once you're 30 days from Purim until Pesach, if a guy asks me Shaila and Pesach, so now that's considered Kinyan. I have to address him before a guy who's asking me a question about Sukkot at that time of year. So that's what the Ran says. But it's not about knowing, not about sitting and learning the halachas. It's not that there's a chiv in every single person to start opening the Shabura and start learning every single day. So that's the machlokas, the basic, leaving aside Moshe's point about the karbanos, which I think the Rishonim say, let's just put that aside for now and just make the machlokas about knowing the lachas or just about being available to consider what's on topic within 30 days. Yeah, David.
I was thinking, maybe just practically speaking, on Purim you have masses of people getting together, so it's an opportunity to spread the word, you know? Otherwise you're going to have to reconvene everybody to have that drasha.
Right. Right.
No, it's practical.
Yeah, no, it could be practical. I'm not sure how it was done then. We certainly spent Purim together spreading Corona. That was this past year. At least Yishai, David, and myself, we spread. Yishai, you got it? I don't know if you got it.
Yeah,
so the three of us, we shared it. Somehow others escaped it and only got it recently from that spreading. But yeah, it could be convenient, time to do it. But it's also strange. If I start getting up at the Purims, we then start darshing about Tilchas Pesach, it would sound a little strange.
And also, the Beis Yosef says, One reason is that there's lidrosh b'ta'amim shebavurim nitztavinu. It's not just to name all the halachos, but also the reason, the machshava behind it.
Yeah, exactly. Not only halachos, but the depth of it, the pnimius of it, the reasons behind it, the hashkafa behind it, yeah, I think for sure.
That also explains shavuos, because you don't have to learn the halachos 30 days before, right? But if it's a spiritual thing about connecting to it, maybe, the hachanos, spiritual hachanos, then...
Yeah, I think so. So I would add, I would think, once you say this concept that 30 days before is considered kinyan, it's on topic, it's not about knowing the lachas, but it's about you're in a zman, you're in a certain tkufa. And that could be a mental tkufa, just preparing yourself. You know, some people have like anxiety, like Pesach's around the corner, especially the women, sukkahs, I got to deal with sukkahs. So you're already in that tkufa, and if it's a question, you answer the question, even though it's not so pressing, even though you don't need to know the lachas 30 days beforehand. But I think even from a Kedusha perspective, 30 days prior is considered the Zman of Pesach. 30 days prior is considered the Zman of Atzeres Shavuos and the Sukkot and so on and so forth. So I think the way we can explain this machlokas now of whether or not you should be learning on Purim or not, can simply, I'm going to try to develop a little bit more, is if it's about knowing the halachas, I don't think it makes sense to learn on Purim the halachas of Pesach. Wait one day, or 29 days won't be a big deal, as opposed to 30 days. But if it's about there's a certain kedusha in the area, a certain zman of Pesach that starts earlier, or Sukkot that starts earlier, it would make sense that even on Purim, that's 30 days. 30 days before, and that's the kedusha of the zman, and based on Moshe Rabbeinu, that model, 30 days before, and on Pesach, he's talking about Pesach Sheni. Now those, of course, are more correlated than Pesach and Purim, but still, I would imagine 30 days might be a little bit more defined as 30 if it's more about a certain tekufa, a certain zman. So let me explain a little bit further, though. I would think there are a few nafkaminas, though. One nafkamina would be is whether there's an obligation for a person to learn them on his own, or just the Rebbe has to be available. So if it's about knowing the halachas, so that was clear in the Mishnah Berurah, clear in the Baal Tanya, that each person must know the halachas. But if it's about just being shol ki'inin on topic, I don't have to learn. It's the Rebbe has to be prepared. He has to be prepared to answer my shilas. So there would not be an obligation for every single person to open up the Mishnah Berurah on Pesach, on Purim. It's just that if he has a question, the Rebbe has to answer the question to him. Another nafkamina, which I already addressed, is which Yom Tovim have this din of 30 days prior. So the Beis Yosef already started going through, delineating, well, a day like Shavuos doesn't require much preparation. You don't need 30 days. And a day like Sukkot doesn't require as much preparation. So this conversation goes into other areas as well. What about Purim? What about Hanukkah? So we already addressed Sukkot. We already addressed... What?
Sukkot's
Beis, you missed it before him. He discussed... You missed it, but we discussed Sukkot before him. So let's go now to Purim and Hanukkah, though. So there's a Gemara in Megillah. Gemara Megillah says, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that when it comes to if Purim is Chal on Shabbos, so of course we don't read the Megillah, we know. It's not in front of you, this Gemara. You have the Tosis, we'll read in a second. When Purim is Chal on Shabbos, Sholin V'Dorshin B'inyano Shayom, we give a shir in Purim, right? In lieu of laning Megillah, we give a shir in Purim. My area Purim, the Gemara asks, why Dafka Purim? Is there an Indian of Shol V'Darshan B'nyan HaShayom? Alfil Yom Tov Nami, every Yom Tov, Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos, we give a shir on topic. The Tanya, Moshe Tikin Lahem Li Yisrael, Sheyuhu Shol V'Darshan B'nyan HaShayom, Hilchas Pesach B'Pesach, Hilchas Atzeres B'Atzeres, Hilchas Chag B'Chag. So what's a Chiddush of Purim? Why, of course, Purim would be no different. The Gemara says, there's a Hav, I mean, since we can't lay in Megillas Esther and Purim, of the Gzer D'Rabo, Les Shema Yavrenu Dal Amos B'Rabim, maybe there shouldn't be a drush of Purim either on Shabbos, Purim Shechal Yisbe Shabbos. Kamashulah, no. When Purim Chal on Shabbos, we give a shir about Purim. That's what the Gemara says. We give a shir on Sukkot, shir on Pesach on Pesach, and a shir Purim. So there, Tosas comments, and this is in front of you, want to look at it inside, number 7, Tosas writes, nearly Hachet Perushot. The explanation of Tosas is as follows. My ear, your Purim. Why are they highlighting Purim? Why are they singing out Purim? There is no concept of darshaning about Purim 30 days prior. That's why there's a certain sense of urgency of learning about Purim on Purim. So Gemara says, Tos explains, well, afil b'yomtiv, the darshin and shalshim yom lefanov, afil hachi darshin and bo. I mean, the havamina was that why do we have a drasha of Purim on Purim? Because we didn't prepare 30 days before and about Purim. So that means the whole Purim is going to go by. We didn't prepare. We don't lay any Megillas Esther. There's no talking about Purim at all. So that's why we have a drasha on Purim. But the Tosafot says, explaining the Gemara, but Yom Tov, where we had 30 days of preparation, where we learned about the halachas of Pesach and halachas of Sukkot and so on, and yet we still have a drasha of Yom Tov, so it should be no different on Purim either. That's what he talks about. But what comes out from this, if you're sensitive to it, and we should be now, he clearly points out there is no Shloshim Yom Kodem Purim. There's no 30 days of preparation before Purim. That's what comes out from Tosfos. Now, Pnei Yeshua picks up on this. And Pnei Yeshua, he points this out. And he says, on the other hand, though, what's clear is, the Shloshim Yom is not something unique to Pesach. It's something unique to all Yom Tovim. It applies to Sukkot. It applies to Shavuos. Purim is the only exception. But it says, Afil Yom Tov, every other Yom Tov, according to Tosfos, would have 30 days of preparation before him. But then he says there's something, a problem that comes out from all this, is that what happens Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Sukkot time? Rosh Hashanah, okay, Rosh Chodesh Elul, you start preparing Rosh Hashanah. Come the 10th of Elul, now you have to prepare for Yom Kippur. Come the 15th of Elul, you now need to start preparing for Sukkot. So now you're overlapped, overwhelmed with all these Yom Tovim together. You don't have 30 days enough, 30 days separate for each of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. How does that all happen? He doesn't have an answer for this. He just raises this point that it seemed like there should be a 30 days before each Yom Tov, but Elul Tishrei gets a little too crazy for this, and just raises that point. So what comes out from all this is that there's no clear-cut answers in the Rishonim and the Achronim, but it is food for thought. There's a tshuvas I saw last night that Tzitz Eliezer said, by Chanukah, what about Chanukah? The Purim Tosafot says there's no 30 days before Purim. Yom Tovim, it's discussed. Chanukah, the Tzitz Eliezer says, he thinks that there is by Chanukah also 30 days before. Now, so there is an idea of preparing for Chanukah before him, but he doesn't think you need 30 days. Now, this is all of, you need the right amount of time to prepare to know the halachas. But once it's all about just a Shulk Inyan topic, about you're in the Tkufa of the Yom Tovim, it's okay if there's an overlap. It's okay if the halachas are not a lot. So 30 days before Chanukah, 30 days before Purim, all these should already be considered in the Tkufa of the Kedusha of that Yom Tov, and therefore should be allowed to be Shulk Inyan. Halacha L'maisa, we'll read Halacha L'maisa, then I'm going to add one thing, what I think maybe real pshat is, of why we learn Pesach on Purim. The Mishnah Berurah writes, and I'll finish this in terms of the Halacha L'maisa piece, Mishnah Berurah writes in number 9, It was Pesach Rishon, Yudal Nisan, and he told everyone what to do for those who couldn't make it, those who are Derech Rechoka, those who are Tamei. He told them in third day to have a makeup. Every other Yom Tov as well, Sukkot, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, a lot of halachas. It's enough already from Rosh Chodesh Sivan, just 6 days to prepare a teres, not that many halachas to learn. Others say it's something unique to 30 days of Pesach because all the halachas of grinding the wheat, of baking the matzah, of hagalas kelim, burning the chametz, and all that. The other Yom Tovim, it's enough to have just a few days before him. So that's the what comes out halach lemaisa, whether or not it applies to the other ones, but certainly it's nice to prepare somewhat for each Yom Tov. But I want to hone in, and finish with this piece, hone in particularly on Pesach and Purim. Why it's not just about preparing for Pesach, but there seems to be a unique connection between Pesach and Purim. There's a Gemara in Megillah, Daf Vav Amud Beis, which has a discussion of what happens, we're talking about a leap year. If there's a leap year, it's an extra month, Adar Sheni. So the Mishnah says that, Karas a Megillah ba'Adar Rishon, let's say you read the Megillah, first month. They didn't know it was going to be a leap year. We know you're supposed to read it Adar Sheni, but they read it Adar Rishon. But it's Abra Hashana, they made it a leap year, they added a month. So then Karin also Adar Sheni, you read it Adar Sheni. So then the Gemara has a whole long discussion, I can't go through the whole Brisa right now, about which is Iker. Is the Iker month Adar Rishon or is the Iker month Adar Sheni? So we know we pass like Adar Sheni, but what's the machlokas whether you should do all the mitzvahs in Adar Rishon or you should do the mitzvahs in Adar Sheni? So the Gemara says, what's the machlokas? The machlokas is as follows. It's based on a certain drasha. It says, b'chol shana v'shana, ma kol shana v'shana, adar hasamech l'shvat, which is the first one, adar rishon, af kan, adar hasamech l'shvat. You should be the first, every single year. There's no adar sheni. So adar is always right after shvat. So this year as well, even though there's an extra adar, we wanted to have the adar right after shvat. Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel Omer, savar b'chol shana v'shana, ma kol shana v'shana, adar hasamech l'nisan. At the same time, Adar is always right before Nisan. So maybe you should really have it in Adar Sheni when there's two months, to make it Samech L'Adar Sheni. So that's the drush. And the Gemara explains, what's the reason, what's the svar behind this? Bishma, I understand Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yosei, who says you should do Adar Rishon, should be the real month. Why? What's the reason? I remember the reason why Adar Rishon? The svara? The drush is B'chol Shana V'Shana. What's the svar why it should be Adar Rishon? It's a well-known concept you guys all know. Comes a few places in Shas. What?
It should be in the spring.
No. Nope. What? Close. A different term, but the same similar idea. Ein Mavirin. Ein Mavirin al Mitzvah. That concept comes up a few places in Shas. These are one of the few places. Ein Mavirin al HaMitzvahs. It comes first. How do I push off an opportunity to lay Megillas Esther? So that's why it should be Adar Rishon. Ella, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, my time, why does he think to delay it? How can he push off a Mitzvah? We discussed, I mentioned, I spoke about this Rosh Hashanah night a little bit, about an interesting discussion of Kiddush Levana, whether you should say Kiddush Levana, you know, right after Rosh Hashanah, it's day 3 of the month, or should you wait until after Yom Kippur? So should you do Zrizim Makim L'Mitzvahs the first night, the first opportunity, or should you wait till after Yom Kippur, where we have a full Slicha Mechila, where we have more Simcha, to have more Hidda Mitzvah, which is better? Is Hidda Mitzvah better, or is Zrizim better? I discussed the Radbaz HaChacham Tzvi, that let's say a guy's in jail, and he was able to negotiate one day out of jail. So which day should he choose? So I think the Radbaz says, choose the next day. The first day is reason makdim limits, go to a minyan and chapin. And the HaChacham Tzvi says, no, you should pick a day like Rosh Hashanah, to daven in a tzibur, a day like Yom Kippur, a day like something different. Hidden mitzvah is more important than Zrizim. So what's the toela? So Zrizim is an important mitzvah. The Grup Haskin, Kish Levana, you should say right after Rosh Hashanah. Don't wait till Yom Kippur. Zrizim is better. Mishabrup Haskins, you should wait until after Yom Kippur, so it's more mehuder. We're full of simcha, we have a slicha, mechil, and kapara. So Zrizim makes sense. What's the alternative? Why would we push it off to Adar Sheni? So what's the reason? So the Gemara explains, my taima de Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Misamech Gula Legula Adif. To juxtapose one Gula to another Gula, which Rashi says is Purim Le Pesach. Each of them were a Gula in its own right. Purim was a Gula, Pesach was a Gula. There happens to be a fascinating discussion, those who have the Chaban Svarim on Purim. He talks about it a little bit deeper in Pnimius and some Kabbalah, those who want to look at it, about the difference between Pesach and Purim. Purim, it was from below. We kind of did the actions, and Pesach came from above, and he speaks in deep Torahs, those who want to take a look. There's a very nice discussion. But either way, it's to juxtapose, to bridge the gap between Purim and Pesach. And that being the case, we can now appreciate the Misamech Gula Gula, why there would be an inin to dafka learn Pesach on Purim. It's not just a random holiday that we're just, okay, 30 days before him. It's actually a very strong correlation between the two based on this Gemara, which is how we paskin of being Misamech Gula Gula. Now, I'll add further. Now, this is true. I saw elsewhere, I don't remember where it was, a similar topic, this idea. It's not only true of Pesach and Purim that they're connected. Every Yom Tov, there's a concept to learn on that Yom Tov, the next Yom Tov that will be, even if it's more than 30 days away. So let's say, for example, Sukkot. I know it's strange to start talking about Hanukkah now, but that's the next Yom Tov. There's an inyan to learn a little bit about Hanukkah on like the last day of Sukkot, to connect from one Yom Tov to the next. It's good mentally. It's good to look for like the next, you know, if you're running a marathon. I know Yishai, Yimi, you do marathons also, or you just run. So marathon, it's all about like the next landmark, right? If you're looking from, what's it, 24 miles? 26? So if you're looking from 0 to 26, there's no way you're going to make it to the end. But if they're like every mile another like hurrah, and the next mile another hurrah, and another thing along the way, it's easy to break things up in pieces. So for the way we have our calendar, it's great to have, it's a big drought now from Sukkot till Hanukkah, but we have the excitement of Hanukkah. So it's good mentally for us to stay strong in anticipation for what's going to be next, but there are also very strong correlations between every Yom Tovim to each other. So just for an example, obviously we just spoke about Purim and Pesach, that's very highlighted. Pesach to Shavuos, that doesn't get any more connected than the Torah, the 49 days counting up to Shavuos. And Sukkot to Hanukkah as well. What's the connection of Sukkot to Hanukkah? Anyone know?
Kapara.
What?
There's a deeper meaning of Kapara.
I wasn't thinking that, but you're right. They do point this out, that we're told Hoshana Rabbah is the, but really Hanukkah is, the Pasuk says, that's the Pasuk, Teshiv Adaka, the Pasuk says in Tilim. We say Sukkot to Zimmer on Shabbos. So Teshuv is Lashon of Tshuva. Daka is the Gematria of Chafei, 25. It takes you to Chafei Kislev. So there certainly is an Indian of that element of the Tshuva going further.
Something about the height, maybe?
Close, not the height, but there's something else in the halachas of Hanukkah. Anyone know what halacha we learn? We don't actually pass in this way, but it's still a correlation. What? No, but that doesn't connect. I guess you're right. You're correct. The 20 Amos, that connection between the height of the Hanukkah, very good, to the Schach, you're correct. There's a so that's one connection. There's another connection. Rabbi Yehuda about mitzvahs, but that's a sukkah halacha. It's a Hanukkah halacha. It doesn't connect to sukkahs though. About the not making it high, the outside. And so the other halacha is the machlokas, as we know, Beisil Beshamai, how to light Neir's Hanukkah, 1 to 8 or 8 to 1. Exactly. So what's the reason why we do 1 to 8? So one is Mamma Kodesh Emoridin. That's one svara. And the svara of the Beis Shammai, why we go down from 8 to 1, is because Parachag. What's Parachag? Parachag is on Sukkot. We bring a total of 70 cows connected to 70 Umos Olam. And we bring, I think day 1 is 12 or 13. I have to do the math quickly. But it's, I think May 13, day 2 is the 12 cows, and then 11 cows, and 10 cows, and so on. We go from 13 down to whatever number, 6 or 7 or 8, and that totals 70 cows. But we're going downwards. So the Gemara says Beis Shammai used that as a model from day 8 down to day 1, 8 candles to 1. And the Marsha explains what the reason is, but either way we see that there's a correlation between Sukkot and Hanukkah, either the 20 Amos of the Sukkah, the height of the Hanukkah candles, or this Parachag. So there's a correlation as well. So there's a general topic, general concept of connecting and bridging the gap between Yontif and the next Yontif, and that would explain perhaps why there'd be a Sarah to Dafka learn Purim on Pesach. And again, that's just in general, but as we said, even there's a special connection between the Gula of Purim and the Gula of Pesach. Okay, so we'll stop here. I'm not sure what topic we'll do next week, but we'll find something on Daf Ches to do together, and Mirat Hashem, we will continue.